Psalm 77. Been a long time since you've been in Psalm 77, hasn't it? Or maybe last week. Hallelujah. Psalm 77 talks about our crying to the Lord. I'm going to be sharing this message tomorrow morning on a Bible study for Christians Engaged. And so I thought I would share it with you this morning. Because it really does also speak to, as Jeff and David were both talking about, Josh Ellis this morning. And Josh is married to Crystal. I know that they're talking about their relationship with Josh. And, of course, most of their relationship with Josh was during during their young years and before Josh married. And Josh has got a great wife, Crystal, and they've got three daughters, Bella and Annie and Lily. And those girls are almost grown, or almost to the point of grown. I think Bella's probably, 20? Maybe 2018 and 16. So those girls are on the verge of being adults. And to lose your dad is a difficult thing in this life. So we want to keep those girls and keep Crystal in your prayers as they move forward in this life. Amen. And Psalm 77 really begins to talk about when you cry out to the Lord, and it seems like there's in your mind and in your flesh and in your experience that it just doesn't seem like He's answering, or it doesn't seem like He's there. First of all, we're not looking for answers from God. Okay? We're not looking for answers from God. Our faith is totally on the fact that by faith alone He has indwelt us by His Spirit. That we know that we are indwelt by Him. It's not whether or not a prayer is prayed and answered. It's the fact that my heart is taken by God. He owns me. He is my Lord and my Savior. So many times believers have just enough faith to pray a prayer in trouble, to pray a prayer in a crisis, right? And so we kind of have a thing where God's like the fire alarm, or the fire, you pull the red handle, It's when God, where are you? I need you now, and you haven't been really connected with Him other than the fact you know where the handle is. And so when there's a problem or when there's trouble, that you reach out and grab that handle. And that God wants you to have that minute, that life with Him without that sense, or that, but with the sense that He is always with me when I wake, when I sleep. So many times, and we'll read the psalm, it's as if the answer is not quite there, right there. But we know that He has already answered before, and He will answer again at the right time. So our prayer is in faith, believing, rather than in desperation and fear. Amen? So having that relationship with the Lord daily, it's not a work, but it's a process of how we open the Scriptures, read a verse, read two, read a chapter, jump around, always having Him right with us. Amen? It's always having Him right with me. He said He will never leave me or forsake me. Father, thank You that You never leave me or forsake me. He is sitting right next to You right now. There's not hardly any room there between Jeff and Tammy, but Jesus, He's right there. He's right there with them. And He is not like missing or sitting across the room. God and Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, are with me every moment. He has never left me. We teach our kids that, right? We teach our kids that that he is always with me. He's not only with, Jesus is not only sitting with Soren, but he's sitting with Nori right there, because they are believers in the Lord Jesus. It's a father and daughter. Amen? He's sitting right here with Margaret right now. He walked in with her. I saw him. He walked right in here. He is here. He is never leaving me, or he'll never forsake me. There he walked in just with Russell. The Holy Spirit is walking in with him. Hallelujah. I'm going to start over here. By the way, Dennis Luchamzi is the right-hand man to Pastor Joel Bukenya, and Dennis is going to come in. They're coming from the Dallas church, and Clay is going to be bringing him over, and then we'll slide on in having Dennis share what's going on. I don't know if he says it's the first time he's been here to the church. He's been in Dallas numerous times, but he's never been to the church before. So I've been with Dennis numerous times. David Cooper's been with him numerous times over in Uganda. And so we look forward to having Dennis here in a little bit this morning. All right? All right, Psalm 77. He says, I cried to God with my voice, even to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. So the beginning of this psalm is, I cried to God, and he heard me. Always having that knowledge. God, you cry to God and he hears you. Never be apart from that notion or that thought. Is that when you cry to God, he hears you. Your prayer doesn't bump off the ceiling. You pray, God hears. Because you're one of his believers in the Lord. You believe in the sacrifice of Jesus. You believe that he has raised him from the dead, and that he, you are born from above. You are his son. You're his daughter. So I'm crying to the Lord, and he gave ear to me. Now, as we proceed through the psalm, verse 2 says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. And this trouble was troublesome. He says, my sore ran in the night. Ooh, man, yuck. And ceased not. And my soul refused to be comforted. You know, you can believe, you can pray. I cry out to the Lord, and I know that he hears me. But my soul, okay, you got to remember, you have a distinction between your soul and your spirit. The soul is the part of you that is informed by the Holy Spirit. The soul is the part of you that hears from the Spirit and is changed. Over in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, looking into the perfect law of liberty, we are changed from one degree of glory to the other. Amen? We are changed. Over in James chapter 1, he talks about how we're looking into that mirror and of the Word of God, and we either remember or we forget. Then he says he goes his way and he forgets what manner of man he was. So your soul is constantly having to be renewed. Over in Romans chapter 12, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So the conforming to this world is the soul hearing what's on the news and kind of going according to that. And even if you don't believe in what they're preaching on the news, you're scared by it, or you're bothered by it, or you tremble at it. And because he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is the renewing of your mind? That's the transformation of your soul from glory to glory. Right? Okay. So here he says that my soul, let's read it again. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night. I mean, this is real trouble. Now, whether it's a physical sore or whether it's just an emotional wound that seems to be, you know, just having all of your attention. My sore, it's like all night long. and ceased not. My soul, listen, my soul refused to be comforted. So if your soul is refusing to be comforted, it doesn't mean you can't receive comfort. Don't look for your soul to receive comfort. Look for the Holy Spirit. You're walking in comfort. There's a distinction and a division between the soul, which is in the process of being renewed to the mind and the will of God, and the spirit, which is perfectly aligned with God's word and will. Yet in our soul, we experience all these things that are going on, these troubles that are going on, but the spirit is like Jesus walking on the water. The spirit's like Jesus walking on the water. And Peter said, hey, Lord, if it's you, if it's really you, if you're really there, when my sore is running in the night, when it appears that everything is going wrong, the storm is raging, Jesus bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said what? Come. So you want to come. In the middle of your sore running, in the middle of your troubling, walk to Jesus on the water. And Jesus is, he is in clear sailing. He is walking on the water. His hair is not even blowing. And so Jesus, Peter walks to Jesus on the water. But then Peter says, Peter began to see the winds boisterous and the waves. And he began to what? Sink like a rock. Well, Peter's a rock, right? So you'd think that Peter would sink like a rock. So Peter began to sink like a rock. He said, Jesus told him, he said, you are a pebble. You are a rock. Like, you know, a rock you would keep. But what God gave you, the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, upon that rock I'm building my church. Jesus didn't build his church on Peter because Peter sank like a rock. I just thought that was interesting. He's out there on the ocean and out there walking on the water, and all of a sudden, when you look at the wind and the waves, when you look at your sore, right? My sore is running. It's, you know, things are troublesome. But God said, I've already got it handled. Walk to me. Walk with me. All right? So in the day of trouble, my sore ran in the night. I sought the Lord. In the day of trouble, I sought the Lord. Because I know that's where my help comes from. Right? Oh. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. So I'm lifting up my eyes. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm not looking at the trouble. I'm looking at Jesus. Now, so and my soul refused to be comforted. So, when your soul refuses to be comforted, that's not the last word. Okay? That's not the last word. Because people look to check their temperature by checking their comfort level of their soul. You may not be comforted in your soul. Doesn't mean Jesus isn't still on the water. Doesn't mean you're not actually walking to Him on the water. Because He bid you come. He said, come. So don't measure God's deliverance by your mental and emotional comfort. Separate that. Don't even look for the comfort, but walk by faith. That's too hard, brother. No. No. You are born from above. Your spirit is alive in God. You need to get past the idea that it's somehow another work on your part to get comforted. Don't look for comfort on your part. Look for comfort on His part, which is His promise. His timing is also not great either, right? Have you ever noticed God's timing is not your timing? It's not your timing. So you remember the fact that we're going to talk, keep going here, and what's going to happen here is He's going to begin to see the, see His remembering the struggle in the soul and then the victory at the end. Okay? Now follow along. So my soul refused to be comforted. That's good. I like that. Because what happens is God defines the situation as it exists. Right? He defines the situation as it exists so that you know what the next step of faith is. In fact, verse 3 kind of gets worse. It says, I remembered God and was troubled. I remembered God and was troubled. This is Psalm 77, verse 3. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Now, he doesn't have the same idea of spirit as you and I do. His spirit in this context is his ability to stand up. My spirit. You know, say somebody's got spirit, they've got, you know, strength, the ability to overcome. It says my spirit was overwhelmed. So in your case, the spirit is what's made, is the part of you that's made alive in God by faith. Here, the word spirit, individual word spirit, is referring to your strength was overwhelmed. Your own strength in will was overwhelmed. So I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. I'm just thinking about this. I'm remembering. Selah is really a word to stop and consider or to remember, as he's talking about there in the verse. So even remembering God and was troubled. God, I'm remembering you. I'm calling upon you. But I'm still troubled. You're recognizing that. You hold my eyes waking. My eyes can't, I can't go to sleep. I am so troubled I cannot speak. That's your current state. But you don't put hope in that. When I say you don't put hope, I mean you don't put any value in that. You don't hold value in the fact of all of these things going wrong. Your hope and your value is in the Lord Jesus and His finished work, and that He has already met your need and He has already got the answer on the way. Daniel prayed, and it was 21 days before the angel showed up. He said, the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. What do you mean he withstood you 21 days? Aren't you God's guy? So I don't know the story there. All I know is that the enemies of God and the prince of Persia, which was a principality or a heavenly host in the evil side, prevented the angel from getting to Daniel for 21 days. We tell the story with Kristen DeGage that the IRS had us in their clutches for 21 days. But in 21 days, deliverance came. Oh, we're sorry. We shouldn't have done that. Here's your document that you get. So in 21 days, but it took a few days. That's okay. You can understand that God, I don't know why He takes 21 days. Maybe I needed Him to take 21 days. But I know His deliverance is already finished. His deliverance is already accomplished. You know, the deliverance that we have is already accomplished in the book at the end of the book of Revelation. Jesus is coming. The enemy is going to be put down. The new heaven and the new earth is going to come. And the work on the earth is going to be finished. And you and I are going to be in the presence of Jesus. Now, whether or not you get killed ahead of time, I don't know. Whether or not I get killed ahead of time in my body, I don't know. But one thing I do know is the finished work of Jesus is finished. And I am with Him. And you are with Him. You hold my eyes waking, verse 4. I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance. Now listen. My song in the night. Now he's beginning to make this turn. I call to my remembrance, to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? So you're having this, you're remembering your prior events, the prior moments of this kind of struggle in your mind and in your life. But God always comes, and he's always making himself known to you. Is his mercy clean, gone forever? So he's reciting his remembrance of these former devastating events, deep sorrows and deep troubles. Does his promise fail forevermore? Verse 8. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. So he's remembering these, his former cries. That's what this psalm is all about. Is that here it comes again. And then I remembered the struggles of my former struggles, my former times of trouble. Anybody got two or three of those? Is those things where, God, where are you? What are you doing? And then we find out here at the end is that he begins to make that turn and follow and walk in the Spirit of God and walk in the finished work of Jesus, right? And so that's what he's helping you with today, is helping you walk through that. So it always comes. It always comes to a conclusion that says God is on the throne and you will be lifted up and you'll be encouraged. Now, things may change. People may die. You may no longer have the things that you had before. Josh is gone. Or Pastor Jim is gone. Other family members, people that you know. But God is using you, and he is walking with you. He has you in his, as Jeff said, he's got the whole world in his hand. Well, he got you. He's got you. Walk with him. I'll turn it over to the 32nd chapter of 32nd chapter of Genesis. This is right after he has started on his way to visit his brother. He was leaving the camp that Laban, his brother-in-law or his uncle, had, and that was a hard life. Working for Laban was a hard deal. That was a deal. You can read that story. He is a difficult taskmaster, you know. I had to work for you. I had to work for my wives another 14 years. Worked for you 20 years. Worked for my wife 14 years. Now I worked another 6 years for the cattle. And then you changed my wages 10 times. I always remember Jim saying that. Changed my wages 10 times. That was the awful thing. And then he finally packs up, decides to go. And there's another story in there with Rachel stealing her dad's idols, and that was another thing. And then, but finally, he's going to go see his brother Esau. And of course, as you remember, Jacob swindled Esau out of his birthright. Of course, Esau wasn't paying much attention either. But he swindled him out of his birthright, and then he did a little juggle to get his mom to get the blessing, even at the end of Isaac's life. So, I mean, Jacob is really a little bit nervous about trying to make amends with his brother. So he's sending gifts ahead of time. He's splitting up his family. So if the brother decides to kill the one he meets, that at least half of them will survive. So he sent them all ahead, sent them all with a gift to meet Esau. And in verse 23 of chapter 32 in Genesis, he says, and he took them And he sent them over the brook and sent them over all that he had. Verse 24 says, and Jacob was left alone. So you're alone. He sent everybody out, and you're alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. So sometimes if you're alone, maybe just everybody out of the house, or maybe you're alone. Family has abandoned you. But he says, and there wrestled with him a man. And when he saw, he wrestled with him a man until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, the man who was wrestling with him, he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me, until you bless me. And he said, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince have you power with God and with men, and have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray you, your name. And he said, why do you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob, all alone, wrestled with the presence of God. And God blessed him. And God blessed him. You're wrestling between spirit and soul. Is God for me? Is God with me? And he said, I won't let you go. I mean, the angel was like, let me go! I won't let you go until you bless me. You are blessed because of the blood of Jesus. So you receive that blessing. Call on that blessing. Call on that relationship which you already have. Pull that blessing out, that relationship out. He has already given you everything pertaining unto life and godliness. So though the soul suffers in this life, though the soul is suffering through various things that are happening, your joy is full and your strength is in the Spirit. Your strength is full. Already know that He has already finished the work in your spirit. Let's look over at Romans chapter 7. Over in Romans chapter 7, we have Paul. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, is also struggling with something. Of course, we can turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at that one. But here, Paul says in verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate is that what I find myself doing. If then I do that which I wish I wouldn't, I consent to the law that it's good. Look down to verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my body, in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity. It appears to bring me into captivity, doesn't it? To the law of sin which is in my members. So we have that again. Another struggle. Over in John chapter 16, Jesus said what? In the world you have tribulation, trouble. Now you know what tribulation is. Tribulation, tribune is a three-pronged fork. Can you imagine, you know, getting stuck with that? You know, the devil coming at you with a three-pronged fork, and here, ooh, gotcha. In the world you have tribulation. So that's, I don't know if you want to call that a promise, but Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation. There's tribulation going on. There's trouble going on. But be of good cheer. Boy, how can you do that? That's really making a real shift. That's making a hard right turn. Is in the world you have trouble. Jeff, cheer up. Well, don't you, I can't. No. Yeah, true, you can't, but he already did. He already did. You have a joy on the inside of you that's not born of your tribulation and not born of your strength. There it is. You know, it's right there. You have it. You own that because of faith. Because the faith of God is on the inside of you, and the completed work of Jesus is on the inside of you, and you always are walking with that. It's like over in John chapter 3 when Peter and John, some of these I didn't even write down, they're just coming now. It's good. You know, the Bible will just start coming to you. When you're in trouble, the Bible will just start coming to you, right? You know, well, I didn't think of this one. Praise the Lord. When Peter and John went to the temple to pray, he said they met a lame man on the way. I'm going to sing the song. Okay? And he stuck out his palm and asked for an alms, and this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. So there's something I don't have, but something I do have. I don't have this, but I do have this. Well, you know what? Peter had this. What I do have, what you're asking for, I don't have, but what you need is what I do have. Same thing is true of you in your trouble. You may not have what you think you need, but what you do need, you have. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. So that's what you've got. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So that's you in the middle of your trouble. In the name, well, I didn't have a broken leg. You have a broken something. In the name, whatever it is that's broken, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It's what you do have. I have all authority and all power. Jesus said, all authority and all power is given unto me, therefore go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Teach all nations. Disciple all nations. Because I have authority, I'm sending you out there. That's how he sent them out when he sent them out two by two, the 12. And then he sent them out two by two, the 70. He sent them out. He gave them power over and authority over devils and diseases and all manner of work of the enemy. Well, he gave you that too. You've got that. So Paul, here, he says he's got this trouble in his flesh. Oh, it seems like I just can't get the things that I want to do, I can't do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things I'm doing. Who's going to deliver me for this body of death? He says, I thank God, verse 25 in Romans chapter 8, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. It just keeps happening that way. And then he begins in Romans chapter 8 to make the distinction. There's no, therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh. What's walking according to the flesh? Hope in the flesh. With some expectation that the flesh is going to somehow make something good out of this situation. No. There is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh. There's no condemnation if you're walking according to the Spirit. If you're walking according to the Spirit, your deliverance is sure. Back over to Psalm 77. Verse 10. And I said, this is my weakness, my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. What's he talking about? He's talking about now. Through all of this trouble and all the remembrances of what my emotions were and what my thoughts were during the middle of the struggle, I begin to remember. God began to show up. God began to show up and he began to minister to me. I will remember, verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. Verse 12, okay. I will meditate also of all your work and talk of your doings. So now I'm beginning to go back to what I know the Lord has done. He did the finished work on the inside of me. He met the need that was happening at the time. I will meditate on these things. I will remember these things. So God commands us to do that. Remember, we talked about the communion this morning. Is that I will, these things, we remember them. By taking this bread and wine, we do remember or show the Lord's death until He comes. So we not only show it outwardly to our brothers and sisters, but we're also showing it to ourselves, to myself. I remember it. So, I mean, you know, you don't have to wait to take communion here. I mean, if you want to remember the sacrifice of the Lord, you could actually get a little bread and wine out of, bread and grape juice out in your kitchen. And you could actually receive the communion there. I'm giving you, you know, if you think you need permission, I'll give it to you. Go ahead. As you can have, you can take the, you don't need a priest. Amen. You don't need a priest. He says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do remember the Lord's death until He comes. So he says, I will meditate also of all your work and talk of your doing. So if you're in the middle of trouble, if you're in the middle of these things, is you talk about them. You talk about these things. Don't hold it in. Some people just, they don't talk about anything. They just moan and grumble and they're ill at ease. No, begin to talk to somebody else about the remembrance of what the Lord has done. Talk to somebody else. Call them up. Hey, I'm going through this thing. Let's talk about the goodness of God together. Amen? Let's talk about the goodness of the Lord. Let's remember. Let's go to house church. I think that'd be a good thing. We'll go over there. They're going to talk about God's goodness over there, and I can share my trouble. Don't share all the details. No, nobody needs to know all your details. Praise the Lord. But just love. But say, I'm going through something here. Let's walk through this together. Amen. 13, verse 13, your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God that does wonders. Well, it sounds like he's moving a lot further along than he was before, doesn't it? Huh? You have declared your strength among the people. You have, with your arm, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you, and they were afraid. And the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. And your arrows also went abroad. The voice of your thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. Your lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way is in the sea, and your path in the great waters, and your footsteps are not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So we know that the Holy Spirit is leading us through every turmoil and every problem and every struggle. And so to then remember the fact that I was in a place where God was seemingly not quite there. But He is. Because we then begin to remember the days of old, the past wonders, to continue to bring to mind those things that God has already done. Amen? There's so many things. Get back to the Scripture. Get back to the Word. But get with somebody. Get with a brother or a sister that'll help you to remember these things and to rehearse the goodness of God. Don't do these things alone. Like this guy here, you know, here at the beginning of this psalm. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and He gave ear to me. How many know God's giving ear to you? God's giving ear to your voice. Amen? In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. So in the day of your trouble, you sought the Lord. I remembered God was troubled and complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. So all of these things are difficult. In the world, you have trouble, but be of good cheer. Cheer up. I have overcome the world. Amen? I've overcome the world. There are difficulties that are not, you know, easily finished. But the living God is ready to give you glory in His hands. Amen? He is ready to give you glory because of His Spirit living on the inside of you. Because the soul cannot be depended upon. Because your soul is always experiencing all kinds of difficulties in this world. And it's being tested and tried and attacked. So we get back to the Scripture, but knowing that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. That we have a relationship with the living God. And that He has not abandoned me. But it appears that way sometimes on the outside. But He has not. And so what God gives us is the ability and the command to remember the days that He has already met your need. And He's coming again, and He's coming again to take care of that. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody got a testimony? Or a complaint? God is good. He loves you. Amen. I'm waiting for Dennis too. You know, so. Amen. Amen. Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Good. You remember, so many times that, you want to get out of whatever the trouble is. I'll refresh, the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, where Paul is talking about the thorn. The thorn, whatever that thorn was. So many people say so many different things. So many Bible scholars, think, okay, is it people bothering him? It says, the scripture does say, it's the messenger of Satan to buffet me because of the abundance of revelations. Well, if God gave you the revelations, is he going to, give you the, is it God who's giving you the thorn in the flesh to keep you humble while he's giving you the revelations? Or is it the enemy trying to keep you from sharing all the revelations that you have? Well, whatever it might be, he said, I besought the Lord three times to take this thing from me. And he said to me, so he's in the middle of a storm, right? He said, it's in the middle of trouble. God, get rid of this. First of all, he had Romans 7. Now he's got 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now he's always got something going on that needs to be addressed. And he says, Lord, I besought the Lord three times to take this thing away from me. And he said, drum roll, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. What? What does that have to do with anything? I know about the grace. I know we have the grace of God. My grace is sufficient for you. But my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. So there's something that God wants Paul to see, and that he has not yet fully grasped, is that there is something about the grace of God that you don't yet have hold of. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, I will therefore rejoice in my infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So if you are in the middle of infirmities, and then that his power will rest upon you. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities. So because that when I am weak, then am I strong. So it goes right along here with Psalm 77, is that when it appears that I'm weak, then am I strong. Amen? I want to read that right, directly from the Scripture. So Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, see, because the way he responds, it's as if this is a new concept. Or at least a concept that is now being I don't want to call it fleshed out, but a concept that's being worked out, as the Scripture says in Philippians chapter 2, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This would be an example of the same thing. It's because you don't know quite how God's working it out, but he's producing it day by day in your strength, in the strength of his Spirit on the inside of you. So my grace is sufficient for you. You ever get a revelation like that? Oh. Something you weren't quite, all of a sudden it showed up. and you weren't quite sure what to do with it, but you knew it was from God. And you knew it was for you, and you know it's a deliverance. And He's revealing it to you. But it's setting you free right now. Then He says, His conclusion, most gladly therefore, where before I was begging the Lord three times to get rid of this thing, all of a sudden He's changed His tune, hasn't He? All of a sudden He's changed His tune. He says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So before I was trying to get rid of the thorn by crying to God, but now I am, here it says, I will glory in my infirmities. Woo-hoo! That the power of Christ may rest upon me. As I glory in my, Father, thank You right now. This infirmity doesn't bother me a bit. I thank You for it. I thank You in the middle of it. It's okay. Everything's going my way. I mean, it sounds terrible, doesn't it? My thing that the thing that's given me the most grief right now, I can say, God, thank You. Thank You for that. Thank You for that. Because it's taken my eyes off of my ability. It's taken my eyes off of my strength. I will glory in my infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, because of Jesus. For when I am weak, here's our Psalm 77. When I am weak, oh God, then am I strong. When I am weak, at that moment, time, I am strong. Gee, I'm really weak. No, you're not. You're strong. Are you receiving that? Oh, I'm weak. I'm weak. No, 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 no. You misheard that. Or you misread that. When I am weak, no. I'm strong. I'm strong. In the middle of a circumstance that is overwhelming and unredeemable, in that moment, that circumstance, I'm strong. I have already overcome. Amen? I have already overcome. I have already overcome. Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't He? Amen? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Jeff, text Clay and see if they're on their way. Amen. God is good. Amen. Anybody else? Does anybody have a testimony of amen? Okay. God is good. Hallelujah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. You got to know that, Liam. You got to know it. When there's trouble, you got to know that Jesus has already taken care of it, and you're well able. You know, it's like Caleb and Joshua, right? You know, you go over to the land, you're spying out the land. Hey, we're gonna go take the land, and 10 guys come back and go, no, ain't no way we're taking that land. Joshua and Caleb, the two oldest guys, are like 80 and 85. They're coming back going, yeah, we can do it. We're well able to take the land. Or it's like Gideon, where Gideon, you know, he goes out there, God says, okay, we got 3,000 men that ought to do it. Or Gideon says that, and then God says, no, you need to get rid of about 3/4 of them. And then you got to get rid of 25% more. Okay, that looks good. And all of a sudden you're in trouble. All of a sudden you're like, God, are You sure? Looks like we don't have anybody. Looks like this room here. Looks like there's nobody with us. How are we going to make it? How are we going to survive? Now God said, it looks good to me. You look like you're about right. We got Monty. We got Jacob, you know. And we got Soren. So we're good. We got everything we need. Amen? We got everything we need. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got an answer? Clay's not good. He's no good. Clay's no good at texting. He's probably driving. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, sure. Speak up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't you? Yeah. Oh man.
I don't know, but it's something to look in the past.
I left my Marco's pizza or leeks and onions, whatever.
Prayer for just some hard places at work. Mm-hmm. Saul, bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Spirit mm-hmm. man's telling Saul to bless the Lord.
Right.
The truth over his mind, his will, his emotions. You know, it's not that he's ignoring that, but it's not preeminent. It's not the most important.
Amen.
So, I don't know, I just thought that was interesting. I never really put together that Abraham looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah. It says he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land and the plain and the hell and the glow, smoke, the country, whatever, the smoke of the furnace. So, I don't know, I just, you know, when you think about just the past couple of years and pandemics and all the crazy stuff that's going on, you know, you look back, I hear people talking about wishing things, or even 9/11, you know, you can't actually wish before that, because everything changed. Go forward. You know, God's good. If it's dark, God's light is brighter. So that's what we're meditating on.
Amen.
The fact that God is, he's the kingdom of heaven is now. It's not that good. It's not wishing. I have this or wishing. Things are different. No, things are different. We rejoice. We trust that he's going to take this situation, this circumstance, as crappy as it is, and turn it into something that's mm-hmm. powerful. That's the gospel.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
We just praise him in everything. We literally thank him for everything.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, do not look back. She did. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Russell?
I was just going to add the way he was saying, you know, God showed you the Son of Gomorrah. Basically, he's going to be able to tell a lot of people to go look at his back in the past and lots of life here because he did that for my life. But God has brought me out. He's going to look at him and pass on his past lifestyle and everything like that.
Amen. Looking not back at the things that were behind, but looking forward. Amen.
Paul said he dies daily. I die daily.
Yeah.
He died daily to that. There's constant remembrance.
Amen. You're remembering that Jesus in John 17 prayed this prayer for his disciples, not that they would take them out of the world, but that they would in the world be separate, and that the Holy Spirit would use them and that they would be seen as separate from the world. Amen? So that you, that's who, and that's you. The disciples aren't just 12 guys back in the Bible days. The disciples are you. Everyone who believes. And he says, and for those who will come after them. And that's you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. All of these things are for our benefit. God gave us his word. It's our benefit to look at it and to read it and to hear what God says. I've said it before, is that this word is for you to hear the voice of God, not for you to, you know, have a bunch of things you can do to please him. No, he's pleased by faith alone. And faith alone is everything that God did for me and doing in me and through me today, those things are the things that carry me, like Jesus walking with Peter on the water. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm looking for these guys, and I'm not seeing them. So, praise the Lord. Maybe we can just kind of hold. Yeah. Amen. We do have lunch today. So, I mean, especially if you've got four kids or something like that. We have Jason's deli stuff that we didn't have as many folks as we thought we were going to have yesterday, so we've got it today. And so you can join us for that. I think we'll just serve it up in the coffee room in the back. And when Dennis gets here, we'll have him share for a few minutes. And it's worth your time to to hang around. It's worth your time to hang around, so if you can. All right? Let's all stand together.